Welcome to Moments with Marianne. This is your host, Marianne Pastana, and I am so excited to be celebrating 10 years of meaningful conversations with you. As we step into our new primetime hour, it's such an honor to share this exciting new chapter with you. So whether you're starting your day out, headed to work, or listening from wherever you are, this hour is designed to bring you thoughtful dialogue, fresh insight, and inspiring stories so you can make every moment count. So thank you for being here with me today, and let's dive in. We're here today with special guest, Maria Sirois, who's here to share with us her Nautilus award-winning book, The Generous Exchange, How Attention to Beauty, Goodness, and Excellence Restores Us and Our World. So can paying closer attention to beauty, goodness, and everyday moments help us find greater hope, resilience, and purpose in a world that often feels overwhelming? Well, today's guest is here to share with us just that. Maria Sirois has spent more than 3 decades in the boardrooms of business, bedsides of the dying, and everywhere in between to do one thing: offer the data, stories, tools, and perspectives that enable us to cultivate resilience, health, wisdom, and a greater capacity to lead ourselves and others no matter the strain or suffering of the moment. So welcome to the show, Maria Sirois.
Oh, thank you for having me.
My goodness, what a great honor it is to have you here and to talk about this book. And congratulations on your Silver Nautilus Book Award. I mean, what an accomplishment.
Oh, it means the world.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it says a lot about you and your book. So what inspired you to write The Generous Exchange?
It was really my own longing to find a kind of steady stream of hope post-pandemic. I was exhausted and burned out and really wanted to find my way back to a felt sense of hope and optimism. And so I began actually paying very careful attention to the beauty around me and then the beauty within each of us.
So when we talk about the generous exchange, can you define that for me and why that's so important today?
Sure. And the notion comes from Robin Wall Kimmerer, who talks about a reciprocity with the natural world that becomes a generous exchange between us and the natural kingdoms, between us and each other. And in my field, positive psychology, we have a character strength known as appreciation of beauty and excellence that Aristotle wrote about, Confucius wrote about centuries ago. And it turns out that when we pay attention with gratitude toward natural beauty or moral beauty, also known as goodness, or the beauty of excellence, we are enlivened and brought to a greater place of health, and we are more contributive back to the world and back to each other. So that's the generous exchange. Our appreciation of beauty fills our hearts. It literally softens our hearts, and we are kinder in return in that day. And then over time, kinder in return to the world and to each other over the length of time.
Okay. So how does paying attention to beauty in all of its forms influence our well-being and the way we engage with the world around us?
You know, engaging with beauty actually provides first an initial boost to one's psyche and one's physiology. It actually calms us down and lifts us. It provides a momentary sense of hope in the world. And when we find that people practice attending to beauty on a daily basis over time, it literally softens the heart. It creates a sense of being connected to that which is larger than us, which elevates meaning. And because it triggers a sort of positive spiral, so if I'm moved by beauty in a moment, I tend to be kinder to the next person. It creates a contagion effect around us. And we find that this then becomes an antidote to chronic stress or even times of acute stress.
That's so good to know, because a lot of times we just go about our day and we're not paying attention at all to the world around us. We're just kind of on this little hamster wheel.
Exactly. And when we forget to pay attention, what starts to happen is that the brain naturally becomes pivots to, you know, the negative, to what we're worried about or angry about or frustrated about. And we need to sort of mindfully, if you will, bring the mind back to a place where it recognizes that difficult things are happening and beauty and goodness are available to us no matter where we are in any one day.
So for people that are not used to trying to at least find a little bit of beauty throughout their day, what simple daily practices can they incorporate at home or at work to strengthen optimism and health and a greater sense of connection?
I love the thought that a number of readers have informed me about, that they are created a text chain where they each text each other 1 minute of beauty that they saw in the natural world each day for like 2 weeks or 30 days. I also have people who have responded by choosing to have dinner conversations with their family around this notion of moral beauty or goodness. Like, what goodness have you witnessed today or did you read about today? And, or what goodness have you actually, you know, initiated today? And those daily doses of the positive over time actually change how our brain is wired, and they change how we see ourselves in our day. We just become happier as well as calmer.
Well, I think we all need that, my goodness. You know,
exactly.
So many people are so stressed out. There's so much going on. And then if we pay any attention to social media or the news, it can really derail us.
It can be a place of real unhappiness, even despair, if we are in social media in such a way that we're constantly comparing ourselves to others or what others are reporting. When we stay present to the day that we've been given and pay attention to the goodnesses, the small goodnesses around us and the beauty around us and the excellence that we see in each other's characters, we are reminded that social media is only one lens into this vast array of gorgeousness that's available to us. And in fact, it can often be a false lens. And so being present to what is true and real in front of us. I just wrote, Marianne, a little that on the same day I read a newspaper article about a person in Australia who jumped in to save a 3-year-old who had fallen into a crocodile pit at a zoo. And on that same day here in the United States, a woman jumped into a river to save a drowning child. Same gesture of generosity, of bravery, of kindness, and across the world on the same day. And if we attend to the world seeking and savoring goodness and beauty and the excellence of our characters, we come to see that we are in a world that is not destitute, not constantly embattled, but also radiant with goodness.
Why do you believe paying attention is a skill that many of us have lost? And what can we do to really start developing that back?
You know, in all the literature, the leadership literature, the literature in psychology, seems to intersect around an understanding that the speed of the way in which we receive and give information has increased so dramatically that we have forgotten how to pay attention for an extended period of time. And I often recommend that people begin, you know, with micro doses of goodness, of beauty, 1 minute a day or 3 minutes a day. And just to begin it, to build that back in as a habit practice. Often, when we do that, our psyche and our brains actually begin to long for more, because they intuitively, they sort of know better and do better when we have periods of rest in between.
How can ordinary moments become sources of resilience and hope?
So resilience is the capacity to adapt to difficult moments, right? To flex and to find a way to stay steady and clear in such a way that we can use our better minds to create the next best solution or the next best moment. In order to do that, we need a reservoir within us of vitality. And when we savor beauty, when we savor goodness, when we notice the excellence of each other's character, it creates that reservoir within us of a kind of faith in ourselves and faith in humanity. And that reservoir is the vitality that we need in order to continue to face what is difficult. I'm thinking now of caregivers of people living with difficult diagnoses like stage 4 cancers or Parkinson's disease. Those caregivers need to have a way to tap back into a reservoir so that they can face each day with a kind of grounded hope.
I mean, your book covers so many just very powerful topics, and one was awe. And it's interesting, I think that there's been some discussion about awe recently. So why is awe such an important emotion for human flourishing?
So awe is one of those states that is paradoxical because it grounds us immediately in the present moment and at the exact same time connects us to that which is larger than ourselves. And that sense of being connected to something larger bridges time and space. We suddenly feel a part of the grand show, if you will. And when we are experiencing awe, we lose track of time. We are deeply present to the moment. It triggers optimism. It softens the heart. It triggers generosity and kindness. And it contributes to a felt sense that life is worth living. We become both small in our awareness of the smallness that we as individuals play, but at the same time have a sense of being part of this grand web. And that also helps us remember how lucky we are to be alive. And all of that contributes again to a sense of greater well-being.
Well, definitely more people need to be in a place where they're feeling greater well-being, and awe is such a beautiful place to start. And I love how in your book you talk about this relationship between beauty and resilience. Can you share on that for us?
You know, resilience is necessary in the worst moments of our lives, right? Moments of loss, of upheaval, of sudden change, shocking diagnoses, or the moment where we realize that a chronic stressor will be present with us throughout for many, many years or throughout our lifetime. And in order to cultivate within us the capacity to endure, we've discovered in the field of positive psychology that having regular doses of the positive is sustaining. It helps us keep moving forward and not become overwhelmed with the stressors of the day or the stressors of our lifetimes. And so beauty is one of the easiest things to access. I mean, even if you live in a city with a ton of concrete around you, you can witness small gestures of kindness. You can witness tiny moments of beauty, like the windowsill plants, if you will, or the small community gardens that are built in our city. So beauty cuts across geography, it cuts across race, age, time, gender, and in that way is essentially available at any time if we pay attention.
Well, it sounds like beauty really interlocks with kind of acts of moral goodness. So how can recognizing acts of moral goodness change the way we interact with others?
You know, one of the most dangerous things in life we can experience, Marianne, is a loss of faith in ourselves and in each other, a loss of faith in humanity. And noticing goodness is the antidote to that. And what's fascinating is that, you know, there are large gestures of goodness, like the two women I just mentioned who helped jump in and rescue children on different sides of the world, right? Huge act of goodness. But there are small acts that are evident regularly and on a daily basis, no matter where we live. And when we pay attention to goodness, not only are we calmed, and not only does it help our physiology regulate itself, not only do we become kinder, it actually triggers in us an awareness of what is possible as a human being. It triggers a model of who we might become also. So I talk about in the book, you know, a neighbor who has fostered children and how admiring I am of her. That is not something that I have participated in myself in my own life. But because I am aware every day of her generosity toward those who were given a difficult start in life, it triggers within me a thought like, oh, how can I become more like her? Not exactly like her, but more like the goodness that she is activating in our world. And so I find myself much more interested in, one of the things I love to do is bake, you know, can I put together butter, sugar, flour, eggs, and offer a generosity to someone who's not feeling well. So this notion of goodness as an example of who we might become is in, you know, beautiful alignment with what we have been encouraged throughout our conscious awakening as human beings through the best of religions, the best of philosophies, and the best of humanities studies to consider that who we are and who we have been may not be who we become. We can choose to become even larger and more contributive to the world at any moment.
So you mentioned something earlier, and I really want to dive more into this. So how can we remain hopeful without ignoring the difficult realities around us, especially like you mentioned the child in the UK that was in the crocodile pit, that child was thrown in. So how do we navigate all this and still end up hopeful?
So let me backtrack for a second. When I said earlier that resilience is the capacity to adapt, resilience doesn't mean only paying attention to the good or the helpful or the positive. It is about the capacity to acknowledge that which is broken, difficult, dark, maybe even evil in the world, and at the same time, pivot toward the good. So our capacity to actually notice an act of cruelty, such as a stranger picking up a child and throwing them in a crocodile pit, and also recognize the goodness that emerged in that moment, the woman who immediately went in to rescue the child, we are remarkable in our capacity to hold both. And the resilience, those of us who are resilient, hold both without denial. We don't deny the negative. And we consciously choose to move toward the positive because that's where that vitality and health and grounded hope is activated. So I, you know, as a psychologist, I live in a world where suffering is often the first conversation we have. You know, what brings you here into this moment? And it's a story of pain or betrayal or upheaval and loss. We start with a recognition of what is hard. And with compassion over time, we then move toward how can we, you know, cultivate within you the habit of actually savoring the good, because that's what will sustain you. That's what will enable you to endure.
Well, thank you for taking the time to dive into that. And that woman that did jump into that pit to save that child is a true hero. And what a beautiful thing to focus on is her ability to do that and save a life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And these larger acts of generosity, of bravery are evident in the world. We can find them if we look for them, literally look for them through our search engines and newspapers and radio shows and podcasts. And they're also available in our neighborhoods. If we just attend to what is happening in the network or the web of connection in our communities, you'll see smaller acts of kindness all the time.
Well, I'm sure nature has so much to teach us. What does it show us about healing and renewal?
I think one of the greatest gifts of the natural kingdoms is this, and I talk about it in the book, you know, Rachel Carson back in the 1970s helped us understand this. There's something infinitely healing, to use her phrase, in noticing the refrains of nature, right? That spring comes after winter, dawn comes after dusk. You know, the birds come and they live their lives, they build the nest, the young ones leave, and the next spring, the next sort of visitation of birds comes again, right? And that sense of dawn coming again, we know is absolutely crucial to humanity. It may not come as soon as we'd like it or as brightly as we'd like it, but these smaller evidences of that which is growing and healing and returning is so important to us.
How does gratitude and appreciation influence the way we respond to adversity? Because I think, again, kind of looking at just what we are bombarded with on a daily basis, it seems like sometimes it's hard to find gratitude and appreciation.
Oh, God, it can be really hard, right? I mean, there are moments when we feel like the universe is just absolutely against us.
Right? Isn't like, that the truth?
Like you know, it's targeted us, right? Like it's, oh, my God, one arrow shot after another. So, yeah, it can be really hard, which is why, by the way, building in practices of appreciation of any of the forms of beauty or building in practices of gratitude in peaceful times is important, because then we'll have habituated our way of living in the world so that we become, oh, I'm the kind of person who's grateful in the day, no matter what the day brings me. So when the difficult times come, that's already built in. But There are many ways in which gratitude benefits us. It creates often a positive contagion effect. So if I'm appreciative of you and your attention to this work in the world, and I let you know that, you are more likely to be grateful for an encounter you have later on today. It literally creates a positive contagion cycle. Gratitude twins with probably the greatest moral virtue that we have, which is love of humanity. It's kind of like the two DNA strands. If I'm appreciative and I demonstrate gratitude, the people who witness that and the people who experience it tend to be more generous. They tend to actually express love of humanity in tiny and large ways. And so it creates this positive cycle. That's another generous exchange that I talk about in the book. Gratitude also is an antidote to negative social comparison. You know, some of the ways in which we feel bad about our lives when bad things happen is that we feel like other people are having luckier lives. And if I can actually pause long enough to appreciate the fact that, wait, I don't have everything I want going on in the world right now, but I do have one person who loves me, or I have a roof over my head, or I have running water, and can really dial down into, you know, what Thich Nhat Hanh talked about as the presence to the ordinary in an appreciative way, we start to realize the incredible abundance around us, even when things are extraordinarily difficult. I remember during the pandemic, you know, hearing from a number of my students that what got them through was the habit practice we have of appreciating just an inanimate object around us. We couldn't leave our homes, our apartments. Our social connections were really in a place of upheaval. But, you know, if I have a phone and I can text someone or send a photograph, it keeps that web of connection alive. So, you know, we were kind of falling in love with our phones and our laptops and our charging cords because it kept the web of connection alive. The other thing I do want to say about gratitude practice is it is one of the most efficient ways of centering oneself in the present moment, which creates a pathway where we're not worried about the future and where we're not torturing ourselves for what went wrong in the past. It keeps us in the present moment. You know, what am I grateful for in this moment is a powerful device to sort of, you know, wrestle our minds back to the point of the present moment, because the only positive can change can only happen in the present moment. It can't happen in the past and it can't happen in the future, only in the present. So we want to be here more now.
What a great reminder, because it's so easy to think of, get bogged down with thoughts about what happened yesterday or what's going to happen at a meeting later today. I mean, it's so easy for us to do that. So how can we start to develop small everyday experiences that leave us feeling like we're having this huge impact in our lives?
Yeah, I would love for every person listening to choose a moment in the day, and everybody has a different rhythm to their day, but a moment in the day where they are naturally a little calmer. So maybe first thing in the morning, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when you're having your, you know, evening cup of tea, but choose a moment where you're naturally a little bit quieter and choose to infuse that moment with an appreciation of either beauty, goodness, excellence of character, or gratitude for what you already have in your life. And let that become a daily practice habit for 30 days. And you'll notice along the way that it becomes a pathway for other good things to happen. You'll notice that you start feeling better about yourself, better about your day, and better about the future.
How has writing this book changed your own perspective or maybe even daily habits?
It has solidified the habit of noticing beauty. Today, for example, I was reading about the Scottish team who have been here watching the World Cup. They're supporting their World Cup team in Providence, Rhode Island, who just donated $10,000 to a children's hospital in Providence as a host city for them. And evidently, this Scottish tribal football team supporters has done this around the world. When they go support their team, they give something back to the community that helped them. So it has just absolutely solidified the habit for me of noticing beauty in one form or another every single day. And what's happened, Marianne, is I can no longer ignore beauty. I can no longer in any way live a day pretending it's not here. It's the evidence is just so powerful.
Well, what a beautiful way to walk through the world. And it would, I mean, the way you approach life and your book, The Generous Exchange, really offers people a way to live a more fulfilled life. Where can people go to be part of your community and learn more about your work?
My website is the best place. So it's just my name, mariasirwa.com. And my books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I love that I'm now a part of your community, Marianne.
Oh, my goodness, Maria. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with us here today.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Maria. It's been such an honor to spend this time with you and to talk about your Nautilus award-winning book, The Generous Exchange, How Attention to Beauty, Goodness, and Excellence Restores Us and Our World. Make sure to visit Maria's website at mariasirwa.com, and that's spelled Maria, SIROIS.com, for more information on her work, to be part of her community, and of course, to purchase her book, The Generous Exchange. Also on her website is her TEDx talk, which is worth the watch, titled, Could Beauty Save the World? Well, we're at the end of our time today. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. You're listening to Moments with Marianne, where we make every moment count.
Single moment, your life can change. Moments with Marianne is a transformative hour that covers an endless array of topics with the best of the best. Her guests are leaders in their fields, ranging from inspirational authors, top industry leaders, and business and spiritual entrepreneurs. Each guest is gifted and a true visionary, a recognized leader in her own work, and while teaching others to develop, refocus, and grow, Marianne will bring the best guest and sometimes a special surprise. Don't miss this. You never know just which moment will change your life forever. Make sure to tune in and visit MomentsWithMarianne.com for more information.